is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched it, because
this message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Romans chapter 8. I think that one of the things that we should be taught about is the matter of life. The reason is because there is a challenge trying to educate somebody about something that he is not naturally given to. Say after me, naturally given to. The matters we are discussing is of, first of all, of higher importance. But there is a challenge in it. You are not naturally given to it. And that is why it is very, very hard. In fact, it takes life to teach about life. Many times, I was meditating on the matter again yesterday. It takes life to teach about life. I mean, you can give a robust lecture about life if life is not in it. You have not thought about life. That is how critical the matter is. It is actually from the abundance of life accumulated that a man can teach what blessed people, what did the work of God, is the measure of life that went into that teaching, not the body of doctrine. One of the reasons why you need to understand this is because the physical and natural realm is filled up with many activities. And listen to me, those activities is not necessarily wrong. But God measures his impact. He measures impact by the amount of life that is in it. So you can come today and stretch your hands like this, and something happened. Naturally, a human being will come tomorrow and do what? You are not with me. If I stretch my hand and three cripples walk, because that's the one you can relate with. If I stretch my hands and three cripples walked, and I see three cripples tomorrow, what will I do? Now, let's assume another three walked. If I come next tomorrow, what will I do? Let's assume any time I stretch my hands and three cripples walk, what will people that is learning from me start doing? Now, they don't care to know whether it is the stretching of hands that gets that done, or is there something behind the scene. Now, this is it. In spiritual things, it's not about stretching hands. It doesn't matter what you do. What God is in is that which is blessed by life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you remove life, the life of God, first of all, God is not in it. And if God is not in it, he cannot walk. He's not the one walking. Now, the challenge is that even in the instances that human being perchance stumbled on something that is a product of divine life, of grace, of supernatural origin, they dump it. They dump how God appeared to them and begin to find a means of building a monument there. If you help me so far, say amen. Amen. I asked the question before, is there a way I can pray once and not pray again? Have you not considered that kind of thing before? Is there a way I can... Huh? Is there a way I can fast once and not fast again? How many of you are in my shoes? Let me tell you, you have to consider the fundamentals of a matter. One of it is this: God created you in such a way that you will be dependent on him. Are you seeing it now? So, If you lived today by the energy of God, how will you live tomorrow? You are correct. The day you dissociate yourself from what God set in place as the engineer of that energy, it is only a matter of time. The departure will be felt. Many times it might not be immediate, but it won't take time and the departure will be felt. Have you not noticed, for example, that in the context of flowing in the things of the Spirit, a man can stumble on spiritual things maybe by fasting for 7 days. Then things will happen so much. Tomorrow he didn't fast. Even more things happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ask every man of God that has ministered a little, it has happened to him. In fact, you didn't pray, you didn't prepare, you prayed. You now came and taught us and said, it's by grace. You don't need to struggle in this thing. That there is a place you enter and you stop praying and fasting. Listen to me. There is nothing like that. It will only mean that what you laid hold on is strong enough to carry you for this sufficient. Now, your departure will not be obvious. Your dissociation and declaration of independence from the source of life has not yet been made obvious. Your folly has not been revealed yet until the day that the things you accumulated will begin to diminish. Now, this is the challenge. If you notice a diminishing and you step in to correct the diminishing, it will take time. Let's assume that there is still a protocol of recovery that is still possible. It will take time for we to feel the impact of that recovery process. But unfortunately, human beings want, if they initiate, have you not noticed it? If they initiate the protocol of recovery, they want to see result immediately. When a young man comes and touches pornography, touch a woman the first time. I don't want to ask you people, have you touched a woman? Touch a woman and then sleep with the woman, come out and notice, I did not die. Yo. Say after me, I did not die. Yo. You died. The challenge is that just like Adam noticed in the garden that God told him the day you will touch this fruit, you will die. But he touched it. He noticed that he didn't fall on the ground. He didn't die. But he died. It took time. For him, it took 900 years for his death to be manifested in the natural, in the physical. Are you getting the point? It is even more dangerous. Because the death that Adam died by that action did not affect him as an individual person as it's affecting you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Adam died 900 years. People are dying 70 years now. Now, we did not know the impact of that death until we entered 2024. And we found out that death, has, having worked for thousands of years, has now matured in his working. To the point that we have more sicknesses than we know now. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Doctors, as hard as doctors are working, we still have more sicknesses that are not discovered. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
I celebrate all the doctors, but we have sicknesses that are not discovered, and more will be coming. It is not always like that. There are sicknesses that wouldn't have even come into existence if it is not for the depravity that man suffered. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are sicknesses that are traceable to the perversion and decadence of morality directly. Is it not true? That means that both the originality of sin and the progressive participation in the actions of sin has a way of bringing down the value and longevity of what? Life. Now, you might not notice immediately the impact of that in your life until after some time. Maybe you engage pornography after some time. After some time. Touch pornography for like 2 to 3 years, 4 years. As he started, you didn't notice anything. Now, this is the challenge. You now got born again. Ba, 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 ba. 2 years, 3 years, you are on fire for God. You now started doing 3 days fasting. You now do 3 days fasting and notice that you are in the, when you are dreaming and a girl will appear. And smile, and you smile back. You wake up and you are angry with yourself. Who is that guy that smiled back? Is the guy. You are not with me. Is the guy you built after the image of your lust for 4 years. You built a being after the image of your lust. You fed it with the raw materials that it needs to be built. It is such a matter that even some people that are no more given to immoral life or pornography are still finding themselves suffering from masturbation and all those things. Do you ask them? You say, I've not done anything for the last 6 months, but I still find myself there. The problem is this. You have already built a man after your image. So that even when you died, that thing that Adam did not what? Die. The scripture even emphasized it clearly. Had it been Adam was able to have an offspring before he sinned. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the son that he will beget is not necessarily after the image of his fallen nature. But by the time he sinned, the scripture said, Adam beget a man after his likeness. Not after God's likeness. So he begat a man after what? His likeness. That is what you do when you travel, you journey on the path of sin. You create a being. Now, the day you now decide to leave another path, that being will keep following you. And say, brother, you are leaving me. Brother, come back. Brother, come back. You now do 3 days dry fasting. They will still hold you down. 4 days. You come and tell me, Apostle, there is no prayer. I've not prayed. There is no fasting. After you have created a man after your likeness. You have already created a being. Are you following me now? If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. That's why God is telling you, when God tells you, don't sin, don't do this. They actually think they are doing God favor. Doing who favor? He is trying to save you. He is trying to save you from the consequences. If the consequence is immediate, you have not even felt the impact of the spiritual thing. God has the advantage of years, the aeons. The information he has gathered from 7 generations of people that have come from your natural lineage. And when you decided to follow God, he told you, do like this. He's trying to conquer. He's trying to blot out a path. A path that Satan has the ability to take advantage of in the days that you begin to mature. When you look at it, you say, what was the... Is it bad? Is it not just to have a girlfriend? I just need to just have a guy so that somebody I'll be talking to. Before you know it, you got pregnant. A young man sent me a message, very sad. Very, very sad. So sad. Very young man. He's not even up to 20 years. He said he's on fire for God. Was on fire. Then, another sister on fire. Both of them are what? True. For God, it's true. Don't mock their fire. It's true. But suddenly, they smiled at each other. That's the first departure. That's when you should fight that thing. Death entered at that part. When that point, when you notice something shifted like this. Boy, you liked it. So you accommodated it. I said, it's not something much. Satan laughed. Satan said, first victory. Do you think that if Adam knew the accumulated consequence of what he did by that thing he ate, that he will try it again? He did not calculate well. They told him he will die. He checked it and said it's a price worth paying. Thousands of years later, we have not finished dealing with the matter. You don't know you are about to replay the game that Adam played. At any time a man yielded to any protocol of death,
He's reinitiating the same thing that Adam did. The consequence of what you started doing as a departure from the template of God might be felt in three generations of your natural lineage. I told you people, and you people know, I hope you know, that there is a way you will lie. A brother said that he lied so much that he didn't know when he was possessed with the spirit of lying. That he was driving in traffic, driving, suddenly. Traffic people. He was driving in one way. Traffic people caught him and said, "Why are you driving in one way?" He said, "His mother died now." And they called him and he's rushing. His mother is alive. He said he didn't even know when he lied. That he has finished lying before he realized that he used his, and he loves his mother. He won Igbo. Ma jirin ne sina ne anwona. Ebo ona atu ona atu ase. That is how much he said he didn't. That when he finished, it was when he finished lying that he realized what he actually said. That means the spirit has overtaken him. It has given him inspiration. As soon as he said my mother died, they cleared for him. It was when he now went, he now realized, he came and met me and said, "Kai, say he can lie." At this level now, if that person doesn't deal with that, he will hand it over to his child without teaching the person. I taught them in morning sessions of the 50 days that when part of the reason why God is trying to take you out of the life of sin and the life that doesn't represent God in character is because if a man lives all his life sinning, let's say he's lying, by the time that man is dying, he has left an altar of iniquity. According to the scripture, there are many words that is used for sin. If you give your life to fornication, check it. People that their great-grandfather married 14 women, 30 women, go and check them. Many of them in three generations are still struggling with woman issue. Go and check it. Even the people that now married one wife, they have a few concubines outside now. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
Why? When you give yourself so much to the... It's no more a weakness now. You have built an altar to that weakness. Now, what you are saying is that I'm handing over to my generations the altar of this weakness. Once an act or a lifestyle of sin passes from one generation to another, it has become what? An iniquity. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So you began to lie by an education that you did not even know when you started. Probably your generations have been lying to escape. And when it came to your own time, you intensified the measure. The same thing with women. It can be the same thing with food. Your father can come out and say, "On this matter of food, nobody should play with me. Take everything what? Leave food. Take everything what? Leave food. Take everything." I know a brother, once he eats, he'll be so happy. He'll be so happy. And he's not. He'll be so happy. You can rarely hurt him in this life after he has eaten well. You can rarely. Not. I'm not sure. There are a few things that can breach. Once he has eaten well, he's so happy. Anything you do to him, he doesn't feel it. But if he has not eaten, he is sensitive, oversensitive. If you tell him he has big head, he will not like it. But if he eats well, if you tell him you have big head, he say, "Yes, I know." If you check well, somebody in his generation did not finish his food adventure and handed over the mantle to you. Which mantle are you carrying? Huh?
Check it now. Have you not heard it? Some of your parents have told you, ladies, that in our family, if you go to your husband's house, don't grieve for him. They hand it over to you, you take it. Once he, there are many, it's common. That's how you are replicating it. Even if your children did not know what you did, they will find themselves doing it because it has become an iniquity. So after me, Lord, help me to obey you now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's read verse 2 together. We can do better. The person that did the opening prayer did a powerful job. And she quoted a lot of this scripture. Let's read it again. 1, 2, ready, go. Can we read it again? 1, 2, ready, go. There are two laws at work. Two laws. How many laws?
Two laws.
The first law is the law of what? The spirit of life. The second law is what? The law of sin and death. Now, you can call a law a principle. How many of you are scientists? What do you study? Who is a scientist? What do you study? Computer science. You know what? A law can be substituted as a principle. At what point does a principle become a law? Be a law become a principle? Well, now, don't they deny me now? They are the same thing, and they can be interused. Good. So, the reason why I'm choosing principle here for your own sake is because when I use the word law, you will see it as a commandment. No, this law here is not about commandment. Hello? You are not with me and I'm not happy. It's not in your mouth. I want you to substitute in this Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Anywhere you see law, substitute it for principle. That word law, substitute it for what? Principle. Because if you see law, you are thinking that the law that they are talking about here is the law of Moses. It is not the law of Moses at all. This is a law that is at work before Moses came on the scene. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This law went to work as soon as man sinned the first time. It began to work. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The law of Moses is the law of carnal commandments. That's what it is called. But this law here is not a law of a commandment. It is a law of a principle. So, wherever you see law here, substitute it for principle. Are you getting it? Can we try to read it again?
Yes,
pay attention. Where are you reading it from? Verse 2. 1, 2, ready, go. No. Where you see law, put principle. 1, 2, ready, go. Is it not easier to grab now? There is always the principle behind the work of anything. This is not a commandment. When we say the law of sin and death, it's not somebody will say when Jesus, that's not what we are talking about. Once you hear the word principle, the reason why we substituted law principle for law is when you see principle, you will know that we are talking about the organic and working aspect of what we are discussing. Are you getting the point? So that's why a lawyer cannot necessarily use principle. But a scientist can use principle for the same thing that a lawyer used the word law. Why? Whilst the lawyer is dealing with the legal aspect, the scientist is dealing with the actual aspect of the matter. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So when something happens, a scientist will tell you that the principle behind... Let me give you a little example. Let's say it's a combustion engine. Where is Collins Okoli? What is the principle behind the combustion engine?
Like the four-stroke engine now. It has the plug and where the fuel passes.
Don't be confused by what is called four-stroke engine. It's like V4, V6. Is it not true? Uh-huh. So that's it. You are driving V8. Listen to how your car works.
So the simple thing that happens is that the fuel passes. The fuel comes to the engine. Then the plug is what sparks it. That's why it's rotating. As it's rotating, then the oil functions to make the lubrication free. That's what happens.
So what is the principle behind the combustion engine?
Sir, is...
Huh? What do you say? That's what I'm saying. Bro, you are very intelligent. Hey, which school you go? He's your brother now. So I'm still correct. I know there are photo guys here. Thank God it's a photo man that delivered another photo man, because they would have said the photo has problem, but it's another photo man that appeared. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So say after me, the principle of oxidation. When you see that big V8 engine, I used to watch some of them. If you see what is happening there, the engine is looking complex. It is based on a principle. You are not with me. When you see something happening in the life of a man, including the issues that you have been trying to conquer and defeat all your life, it is riding upon the principle of sin and death. So every defeat that man has suffered since the fall is built upon the cumulative and complex equations that came from the foundation of the principle of sin and what?
Yes.
They kept combining equations. Kept combining it. It is becoming larger. But when you disintegrate, you will find out that the basic solution there is the principle of sin and what? Death. That is what powers all the weaknesses that a man feels as a natural man. All the challenges that we are faced with outside of the support of God. It is the principle. Are you seeing it? So, when we say the law, it is not the law in the sense of a commandment. Touch that red sister. Blonde hair. If it's people from US, they will call you blondie. When the principle of death begins to work in a man, you will not know. Are you seeing where I'm going now? So this is what Satan does. He doesn't need to kill you to die now. All he needs to do is to introduce a principle. What's the name of that principle? The principle of sin and death. And it is only a matter of time. The principle of sin and death will yield all the purposes of Satan. Now, if it is true for Satan, if God wants to walk, what will he do? He will also introduce another principle. The principle of what? Spirit of life. It doesn't matter how small it is. If you fan that life, it has the ability to consume everything into God. Pataya kapush. When you got born again, it looks as if nothing really happened. I don't know about you. So when you got born again, your own might be very big. And Jesus appeared to you and is waving to you, waving to you, waving to you, and then disappeared. Godwin, that's how your own happened. What happened? How many of you had dramatic encounter when you got born again? You were crying and weeping, and Jesus was so loving and telling you love. You told me that the Holy Spirit came and stayed for how long? For a while. A while is how many days or how many weeks? A day. And he was there, and you were feeling the presence and all that. Is it not true? Ah. My own was so indifferent that I almost forgot I was born again. How many of you were like me? I almost forgot. I almost forgot I was born again. I needed to be taught the scriptures to explain to me that I now have a new life. Nothing happened. The first dramatic thing that ever happened to me was when I spoke in tongues. Thank God that speaking in tongues has, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has evidence. Evidence of speaking in tongues. Even somebody like me can stay there without any evidence. If you heard me so far, say amen. You can be born again and the seed of God's life will be implanted in you. That's enough. Listen to me. I want to see if I can use one stone to kill two birds. The reason is that we have a bigger challenge as men that is approximating into the purpose of God, having experienced the fall in Adam. It is already a labor for you to get into all of God without ever having been in sin. Let's assume you never sin. It is still a walk. Did you read the scripture? In the book of Genesis chapter 2, I think verse 2, the scripture said, and the Lord God finished all of his works. Show me now, who is that person there? And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had what? And blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work, which God what? I didn't hear you. Which God what? So specifically, the scripture is telling you that it is not all works that God rested from. He rested from creative works. Are you with me? Elijah, are you with me? God rested from what kind of works? Creative works. He said he had rested from all his work, which God created and what? Made. That means God entered into rest in creative context. Meanwhile, that is not all the rest. Because in the matter of the purposes of God, there is no rest yet. In the matter of the house of God, there is no rest yet. Until Jesus appeared on the scene, and the scripture said, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. What? Bodily. Until that point, God did not have house. Because even when the children of Israel built him a temple, the scripture said, oh, you think that I live in houses that is made with hands? You don't know me. I'm looking for a house. It took the progressive revelations of God in the New Testament for we to understand that there is an eternal construction that God has in view. And that every believer that has found himself within the conclave of the kingdom is a living stone that will be used in that construction site. That God is looking for a house to live in. Are you getting the point? That means in the context of construction of that eternal place that God will inhabit for all of eternity, God has not rested. Are you getting the point? There is even redemptive works, but in the context of redemptive works, God, I hope you know that redemptive works started from actually Genesis chapter 3. If you are with me so far, say amen. As soon as God prophesied, or rather spoke, and said that the seed of the woman will bruise this and the serpent and whatever. That is the beginning of the redemptive labors. It means that God started searching for seed. Started by the time Christ came, died, resurrected, and all that happened, God rested from his redemptive what? Works. That means he has rested from his creative works, rested from his what? Redemptive works. But look at you now. You have not become whom God has ordained. That means in the matter of his eternal purposes, he has not rested from his work. In fact, in that one, I don't know how many aeons it will take for God to rest from that work. Can you pray for 1 minute and say, Lord, I yield my members as instruments where you will walk. Walk as deep and as powerful as you desire. Pray for 1 minute. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want you to see the matter of eternal life in three revelatory steps. Number one is as an act of safety and salvation, that is a direct deliverance and preservation from eternal damnation and judgment. Bro, what did I say? Huh? You even close your Bible and your jotter and you are sitting in front. I'm still coming back to this book of Romans chapter 8. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. I said number one is as an act of safety and salvation, that is a direct deliverance and preservation from eternal damnation and what? Judgment. That's the first point, revelation. As a direct deliverance, as an act of safety and salvation, that is a direct deliverance and preservation from eternal damnation and judgment. This is the revelation of eternal life that an average evangelical doctrine and learning holds. Are you getting the point? That is how many of us got to be born again. Especially when you quote the book of John chapter 3 verse 16. If you like John chapter 3 verse 16 a lot, and you have used it for evangelism a lot, it will mean that you are an evangelical. Many times, because the book of John is not for evangelism. The book of John is for discipleship, because John didn't really write to people that are not yet born again, actually. For God so loved the world, this "for God so loved the world" is not an attempt to stress the love of God in the context of the enormity and the magnitude of the love of God. Yeah, we know that the love of God is beyond measure, but that is not the labor of the word of God in this piece of scripture. For God so loved it. That's not what this place is saying. The word for here is a conjunction. You study English language. You know what conjunction means? It means it is that verse 16 is a stressing of a former point that is already made, and the word "for" is standing as a contact point between the former point and this. Are you getting the point? So let's see verse 15. That whosoever, let's see verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not what? But have what? It is because of this thing we read in verse 15 that God so loved the world. Because you cannot achieve verse 15 without this happening. Said, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal. And you have several places where the scripture said, him that believe have eternal, him that didn't believe is already damned. Hello? Have you seen things like that? He said, he's already damned. That means that eternal life is first of all an act of safety as a direct deliverance from eternal damnation. Considering the fact that man is already judged in Adam because of the fall. Are you following me? Man has already sinned in Adam. And according to where we read yesterday, we said that the wages of sin is what?
Yes. Death.
That means man, if left the way they were in Adam, is heading for eternal damnation. He's heading for eternal judgment, and there is no help coming for him. But God, through Christ, blocked. And by the release of eternal life, that was possible because Jesus died, he was able to rescue man so that instead of man entering into eternal judgment, man entered into what? Eternal life. Instead of man entering into eternal judgment, he did what? Instead of entering into eternal judgment, man did what? So that's the point now. If man was heading for eternal damnation, and what stopped man from getting there was eternal life that came as a result of the Son. Not just that the Son appeared, he actually died to release the life. I'm still coming to that point. Because there is no release of life without the cross. In fact, I'm going to the cross. The reason why I'm going to the cross is the cross is the biggest infrastructure in the whole universe. What did I say? How many of you have seen the Burj Al Arab? Burj Khalifa, what is it called? Oga, come here. What is it called? Burj Khalifa. It's not tall. It's not big enough. What's the biggest building in this world, Seth? Huh? Call names now. Call the one you know that are big. Huh? Anyone, anywhere. Where? Huh? Cocoa House. Where is Cocoa House? Ibadan. How many story building? 26. It's big. Oh. The cross is bigger than Cocoa House. Which other one? Huh? Huh? Empire State Building. Where is it? New York. How big is it? What of the Twin Towers that went down on September 11? How long was it? I put it to you that the cross is bigger and taller than all those buildings. There is no infrastructure that is even close. They took the cross, turned the cross, he went deep to hell and went tall to heaven. Only the cross can meet the Son of God and reduce him to his deity. He came all flesh. We are eating with him. We did not this man have the capacity to save every man. Not just save them, but give them his life. He took the cross to reveal who he is and to release the life that he has. To do what? And? To do what? We didn't know. Do you know John was boasting? He said, it's just like somebody that knows me. And some people have done it. A brother came somewhere and they asked, he was listening to a message and he was being blessed. And somebody that beside him asked him, who is the person talking? He told him that he's an apostle. He did that. This man is something else, that he's not a human being and all those kind of things that people say. You know me, am I not a human being? I'm your guy now. Huh? Pastor, am I not your guy? Oh, guy, you are my guy. If you refuse, I hold you. Where is Chibike? Hola, Jigo. Why am I not surprised? Where is Zatoro? I'm telling you. When the shepherd has slept, what will happen to the sheep? Huh? What of the stones? What are we going to do to the stones? Man of God, is it not to just turn them to bread and eat? Take, go do tea self. And all that. So the guy came and said, ah, Apostle, is it not Pastor Edina? I know him now. I know him well. In fact, you have his number. Let me call him now. The guy now called me. I couldn't pick. I was very busy now. Now, the point is that the guy is talking from former knowledge. Are you getting the point? Uh-huh. So that's how John and them, those people were. Is it Jesus? I slept on his shoulder now. If he eat, he will give me, I will eat. Now, my guy. When the cross met the only Son of God face to face, he reduced him to his glory. The same Jesus appeared. John fell on the ground as if he died. They have to tap him to wake up to hear voices that spoke from heaven. That means we don't know men until they collide with the cross. Sometimes you can be bogus in the flesh, bogus in the soul. But when the cross comes, we find out that you are a miniature entity. That the substance that you retain within your inner man is so small that it can have impact on people and have impact on generations. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. We labor for life and light to come into the place where God by the cross has gathered weight in our inner man and densified himself through his life that is there. It is by that weight that we can affect things. You don't know why I teach you this. I asked the question for many years. It takes a few years to raise a man that is competent in the Torah. And for you to be a master of the doctrines of the Jews, you have to spend a lot of years. But in 3.5 years, Jesus raised apostles. 3.5 years. Say after me, 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Are you not bothered, Pastor? If you are not bothered, I don't know what is bothering you. Maybe you have another business doing. Anybody that has discipled a man, you can disciple a lady, disciple her. After 3 years, you will get pregnant and run away with a Yahoo boy. You will now remember that Jesus discipled Peter into an apostle, a fisherman. You will now become humble and ask Jesus, how did you do it? I asked this question for almost 15 years. I say, densify life. Something can enter you, water, and walk for 3 years. You cannot even explain what it is. Can lock you down in the place of training. You will stop running away. Something can keep you. It's a weight of eternal life. It's a weight. Can draw you, woo you. Your mind can be making rational reasoning. You can be doing logical analysis. But there is something heavier than your mental capacity. It is the weight of God that is resting on your heart. Sometimes you might not be able to understand everything I'm saying. But you know something is resting on your heart. He refuses to leave. Are you telling me that the times that you... Have you not woken up and you are gripped with the spirit of prayer for 6 hours? You didn't even realize whether you used any prayer point or not. What is happening to you? Life. There is no counseling that can bring you there. There is no moral instruction. There is no discipline that can bring a man there. By the time Jesus left and the Holy Ghost appeared, Peter said in the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 4, he said, we ourselves, we give ourselves to the ministry. They have converted the prayer. Are you with me? They have converted their prayer life to prayer ministry. Because what they saw, stumbled upon in their prayer journey in their secret place has become so rich that a generation needed to be taught the path of prayer. This is just prayer. They needed to be taught the path of prayer. So they said, we ourselves. So it means that they have generated teaching curriculum on the matter of prayer. They have generated a manner of life. They have generated a culture. They have even systematized spiritual things. And they have decided upon themselves that they will teach and journey on that path.
Something that they struggled with. When Jesus told them, come and watch with me for 1 hour. What is the difference after me? Life. They needed a teaching session, and the attempt is to explain what is happening to them. Why is it that we gather today and explain what has not happened to us? But in the apostolic time, they gather and their labor is to explain what is what happening to them. Help us, Jesus. Let every man that hear me be tired of the shallow waters. Let the drink from the wells deep and eternal beckon on us. The scripture said that deep calleth unto the deep. At the noise of the water spouts, for thy waves and billows deep calls unto the deep. Something need to call you. Something need to call you. I want you to pray in the next 1 minute and say, Lord Jesus, call me deep. The scripture said, no man can come except I call him. It's not possible for you to come deeper until you hear a voice summoning you. It is not a place that you enter by the expending of your willpower. You are not praying. You are not serious. Pray. Pray. This is when you leave your neighbor and advance. The moment is here now. Pray, 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 pray. He keeps calling me over, deeper into you, deeper into you, over. He keeps calling me. In the night, sometimes I'm tired. I don't want to pray, but he keeps just calling me. He wakes me up and says, hey, do I want to stay with you one more hour? The mothers, they are calling me again. They have started calling us. They are calling us. They're saying, come deeper, come deeper, come deeper. He keeps calling me. Can you hear the summons from place yonder? For men that walk, God wants to take on a journey. He keeps calling me. Can you hear? There is a depth God wants to take you to, Pastor. He keeps calling me over, deeper into you, deeper into you, over. He keeps calling me, big dot. He keeps calling me over, deeper into you, big dot. Can you hear your name? Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Woo me, woo me, woo me. Deeper into you, oh, he keeps calling me. He keeps calling me, oh, deeper into you. Deeper into you, oh, he keeps calling. He keeps calling me, oh, I see God summoning people everywhere in the universe in this season. There is a call to take men deeper.
The Lord is calling the body of Christ to come deeper with him. Be fast, listen to him, young man, at the council. The gift of the possibilities of God's kind of life, living, and experiences. Did you hear me? I said in the first one that the first revelation is as an ark of safety and salvation that is a direct deliverance and preservation from eternal damnation and judgment. The second layer of the revelation is the gift of the possibilities of God's kind of life. Say after me, the gift. Where we read yesterday confirmed it. Said that the wages of sin is death. But what? But what? My man at the back, the fair one. But what? Correct. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Say after me, the gift of God. So the second level of revelation is the gift of the possibilities of God's kind of life, living life, then living. That is life, comma living, and then and experiences. With its attendant benefits for us by faith, especially in the now. With its attendant benefit. When a man is gifted the God kind of life that we call Zoe, there are possibilities he has here. Are you with me? If you are with me so far, say amen. First of all, you need to know that it is a gift. Say after me, a gift. Say after me, a gift. I didn't hear you. Say after me, a gift. Now, this gift has the ability to bring you into the life, the living, and experiences that is mostly unique to God. But God has decided to share it. God wants to share his kind of experiences with you. If you heard me so far, say amen. Amen. And there are attendant benefits. I hope you know that there are some things that is a byproduct of the eternal life that happens in you and through you. And even angels, say after me, even angels. Amen. Even angels wonder because they are not possessors of eternal life. They have their own kind of life. But the eternal life is unique to God and God decided to share it with man only. Now, you will have to find out, or rather, you have to take record of the uniqueness of man. As the man of God first said, man had human life. Are you with me? Yes. Man had human life. And that is part of the reason we also give this teaching. Man had human life, but God ordained that inclusive of human life is his own life. And what he intends to do is that this is life, will so overshadow your own life in such a way that your human life will not be totally distinct, even though there are two lives there, but you are living your human life as if it's the God life. So after me, you are living the human life as if it's God life. Now, because when you, there is a mistake that a little bit, I won't call it mistake, but it is just a little oversight. Even though if you stretch it, it can lead to an error. You can hear, maybe in the teaching of new creation realities, you can hear somebody teach that when you got born again, you don't have your human life, that what is changed is, no, it's not true. You have your human life even after you are born again. You can't find it anywhere in the scripture. Are you getting the point now? Now, that is why there is a deliberate need for participation. Because if you have your human life and have God life, the purpose of God is to overshadow the human life so that it can live, experience, execute as if it's God life with total influence. So God wants to influence your life by his life. What did I say? God wants to drive your life by his life. What did I say? God wants to lead you by his life. What did I say? God wants you to live your life by his life. What did I say? Now you are living your life, but you are living it by God's life. That means if you want to reach out for potentials now, you will go beyond the potentials of your humanity and go into the potentials of the God life that you possess. And come back and live it as a man. God never wants you to dissociate from your humanity. Never. Never. In fact, that is why in some places the eternal life is called the supernatural life, even though I will not call it that. The reason why I will not call it that is the best thing to call it is the life of God. But that eternal life in you is a supernatural life. Are you with me? Are you sure you are with me?
Yes, sir.
In God, it is eternal life. In you, it is still eternal life, but it has become the supernatural life. And the reason why it is consistent in your own context is because God has no intention of removing your humanity, but he wants to prove through your humanity his divinity. What did I say? Prove through your humanity his divinity. By what? You are correct. By his what? By his what? So the life of God flows through your humanity, and God is proving once again that his life can totally consume a man in such a way that he's totally acting, thinking, and behaving as God. But he is not God in the sense of deity, but he's in God in the sense of life shared and possibilities that he has. So if God look around and say, okay, I want to act like this, and you are the person that is available, he can act through you exactly how he would have acted if he's acting on his behalf. But now he's acting through you, and he acted exactly the same way. Then principalities and powers look at how God acted through you, and they will learn something. Because though it looks as if it's a man acting, it is the life of God acting through what? You are now with me. That is why angels learn. They are not learning from you as a human being. They are learning from the life of God. That is where? Yes. Sometimes as a man of God, you begin to minister like this. And then angels will be watching in the spirit how the words that is coming out of your mouth is changing a human being that is totally messed up. If God spoke directly, it will be easy for them to understand. But a man is speaking, even a lady is speaking, and men are chained and they are become, and they are wondering, what is man self? What is man? Man is the personality that has been ordained to possess eternal life. And by the means of that possession, so after me, by the means of that possession, he will be influenced totally by that life. Let me say it. He will be influenced totally by that life. He will not live totally by that life. He possesses, he is influenced, and he lives. He possesses, he is influenced, and he lives. He what? He is what? He now. I think many times when we explore the new creation realities, this is where we come, because this can give you results on the now. You can step out of your ground and enter into God's ground and access many possibilities that is totally superhuman. You know this is not you, this is God. Are you getting what I'm saying? God can think through your mind. Huh? It is the possibility of the Zoe life walking through a man that we can look at this written Bible, written scriptures, and confirm the law of inerrancy. You know what is the law of inerrancy? We cannot say that what Jesus said is the word of God and what Paul said is not the word of God. We can't say it. The law, if a part can be lowered, if you come in authority, are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
you are not getting me. It is, if you don't know this, your whole faith has failed. This one I'm telling you now is the foundation of our whole faith. If any portion in the Bible is debatable, then all the portions are debatable. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
that is inerrancy. It's a law. And the reason why I even went to this point is because even in the aspects that men spoke, there is a total influence of the spirit. The spirit of life totally influenced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you cannot come and say that it's not God. Because that is God's intention. Who has even seen God? Jesus himself appeared and said, no man have seen God at any time. No man. You don't know what it means. No man. You know, the Bible said that God told the children of Israel to come to the mountain and eat with him. Huh? Anytime that there is a similitude manifestation of the Godhead, it is epiphany. It is a dimension of the Son. It is only the Son that possesses a unique ability to represent the Godhead in a form. Jesus said, no man has seen God. It's only the Son that is in that can reveal him. It is not possible for the Father to be revealed except by the Son. Not possible. It is not possible. At any time, Jesus said a conclusive statement. Now, this is it. How then will you say that God spoke? Even when God directs angels to speak on his behalf, many times you will see the angels, they will remove themselves. They will no more speak in the second and third person pronoun. They will speak in the first person pronoun. Is it not true? Many times, that is how God appeared through the angels in the Old Testament. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody is qualified to be a man of God if God can't speak through his mouth. Everybody should go home. If it is not God speaking, everybody should what? Go home. It also means that any time we spoke and God did not speak and God did not minister, we wasted God's time, wasted people's time, wasted our time. If that is the only thing that happened, then there is no trouble. We actually yielded ourselves, according to the first minister today, our sister, to death. The day we prayed without ascending, we allowed death to step in. What he said, if he didn't shake you, he shook me. But for you, it's not that important. There is no ministry that steps out and decides to be a dead church where the fire has gone out. Many places that you are saying, they are fire, if, including the denomination you came from, and some of you are coming here to contact fire. Some of them, not all, some of them, there used to be heavy fire there. Is it not true?
Yes,
but the fire has gone. How did it go? The same way. One day they came, they prayed, nothing happened, and they left. They didn't try to rectify the situation. Why did God not appear to us the way he used to appear? They said, we have outgrown this level. Let's manage it. We already have a system that has the ability to still run things. You know? So they now still do altar call. They do altar call without the Holy Ghost doing the altar call. And people will come out. They disciple them, take them, and They keep doing things without the Holy Ghost. They do opening prayer without the Holy Ghost. You worship, lead worship, and you did not ascend. You just used your pure gift. Are you with me? Nothing happened. And you did not go back to check why nothing happened. You continue like that. That is the beginning of death. That is actually the real death. The consequences of losing, when you now lost your anointing and people saw, that one is just consequence. That first act you took, that first thought in your mind is when you failed. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. So that's the second one. The third revelation is, this third one will be a little hard. I trust the Holy Spirit to help me. That's actually where I'm going. The third revelation is the bridging of the time-space material. I wrote four things, or rather you can call it three, because time-space always goes together. Time-space, one, then material, two, then three is purpose. There is a gap between humanity and divinity in the context of time-space. There is also a gap between humanity and divinity in the context of material. Makeup. Say after me, makeup. Say after me, constitution. Constitution is not a rule. Sorry for this thing. Tomorrow we'll rectify it. So, constitution is not a rule. That constitution is a makeup. You can go back and check the meaning of constitution. When you say something is constituted with something, it means the material with which that thing is made up. Have you not heard people say, what is the material that you are made up? How do they say it, sir? The stuff you are made up of. Is it not true? So after me, the stuff that you are made up of. There is a total gap between the stuff God is made up of and the stuff you as a man is made up of. Huh? The third revelation of eternal life is that it bridges that gap between the stuff God is made up of and the stuff that you are made up of. The only thing that can bridge the gap between the stuff God is made up of and the stuff that I am made up of is life. Say after me, life. Oh, follow me. So first thing it does is to bridge the time space. So you can stay here. A man that has the life of God can touch God here and now. Are you getting the point? That means time space has been taken away. He can be made up of what God is. He can be reconstituted. In fact, that is the level of sonship, that by the progressive administration of the tree of life, we can be constituted by the material of the Son of God, who is the eternal building material that God has ordained before all creation. God ordained that all things will be made up of Christ. Aside the fact that you are born again, you need to be made up of Christ. You are not yet fully made up of Christ. You are in Christ. Say after me, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
But I need to be made up of Christ.
I need to be made up of Christ.
Like you are inside Christ. And because you are inside Christ, you now have the license, the liberty, the authority to be made up of Christ. Huh? To them that believe, gave he what? To what? That becoming is the process of being made up. Become sons. Sonship is the journey of being made up of Christ. Sonship represents Christ. Anywhere you see sonship in a spiritual context, it is Christ in the material of making. Sonship is Christ reduced as a material to make men. Sonship is Christ reduced as material to what? Make men after God's desire. So when we go to the scripture and study, the Holy Spirit will look at the scripture and find out what in the Bible this week do we need to put into you so that it will be Christ that has been imparted into you. Are you getting the point now? And they will say, okay, it is maybe Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, if there is anything like that. So the Holy Spirit will so emphasize Genesis chapter 2 verse 17 that it will become a material with which your inner man is now constituted with. It is not just a scripture to quote and believe. It is something that you are now made up of. It is a component part of your making. Oh! You didn't hear me. Nonetheless, I will continue. So when a man comes in, say after me, into Christ. When you are in Christ, you need to be made up of Christ. Beyond individuals being made up of Christ, the scripture said that there is a demand on the body to hold the head. What does it mean to hold the head? Pastor Chimobi. What does it mean for you to hold the head? That's a metaphor. Say after me, a metaphor. What does it mean to hold the head? So that the fullness of the head can fill the body. Are you getting the point? Even the body needs to hold the head so that it can be constituted with that with which the head is made up of. So the head is already a template of constitution. When the body submits to the head, the Holy Spirit draws from the resources of constitution from the head and builds up the body. First thing that the Holy Spirit does when it comes to the place of building in the body is that he brings the material that is sourced from the head. And the first thing he does is to judge all other material that is within the body and then do an evacuation first. That means before God builds, he judges. Has God not judged you before? If he has not judged you, you have not made progress. Many times, the proof that you are even making progress is that God judged you today, self. Yes, sir. If it has been long, let me tell you what it means that God judged you. Have you prayed and ascended, did mighty thing in the spirit? And God told you, Kai, as a sister, told you, Kai, that your cloth is too tight. You didn't hear it when you were on the ground. As you keep ascending to, in fact, let me tell you, there are measures in life, and the things that the Holy Spirit will demand from you as a principle. Life has a principle. When it comes, there are things it judges away. You are not with me. When we say that God filled you with life, it means that he judged away everything that is dead and sin that doesn't represent. That there are things that are not components, makeup. They are not part of the makeup of life. So when life comes, before he builds, he judges them away. So when life comes and notice that sleep is not part of what he wants to build. Are you getting the point? He judges sleep. Not that you will never sleep, but he wants you to come to the point where you conquer sleep. You now sleep as a necessity. Not you put a bed in towa in a kumora. Man of God. Then I'll go. Happen can kumora. Write it that way. There is a law of life that abhors several things that is not bad before. When you keep pursuing God, and the more life, the scripture said, narrow is the path that leads to what? Life. You have not entered the path of life. I saw the sister say, Lord, teach me the path of life. Is the path is straight. The reason why believers are doing many things in this generation is that few of them is treading the path of life. The day you start treading the path of life, you stop asking whether it's sin or not. You will, first of all, God will judge away everything that is sin and then take you into things that are not sin but are not component of life. In fact, God will keep judging and keep judging and keep judging and come to the point where things that were useful yesterday will no more be useful in the component oppression of life within your members. The constitution of God after the order of God's demand on you today no more needs what God used yesterday. Remember when we are small? How old are you, sir? You are still young. When you have baby, you should be about 40. How old are you? Ah, all of you are young, oh. Jesus. When we are young, there is a car called Santana. Do you know Santana? Ha! I've confirmed you are young. Do you know Santana? That means you are older than them.
How old are you?
Eh? No wonder. You have to be up to 30 to really remember. Except your father was a millionaire. There is a car called Santana. Do you know it? Your father must be very rich. Either you are old or your father is rich. Or your brother is rich. Santana. We used to call it Santana Okobo. Saptam is Santana Okobo. I didn't hear you. Saptam is Santana Okobo. It's actually Volkswagen Santana. Jesus. The mouth is like fish. How many of you remember that? The mouth is like fish. Do you know it, Pastor Boy? I know you know it. The mouth is like fish. Jesus Christ. If he's passing the street, all of us will be running. I say, Santana, this one is my own. Don't take it. It's my own. I will colonize it. If you bring Santana, if you give my enemy Santana, I will not even allow my enemy to take Santana now. As good as Santana was, and all of us coveted it yesterday, according to the labors of God in life, or and by life. Say after me, in life, by life, in life, by life. Never forget, in life, by life, Santana is no more a needed commodity in building. He served yesterday, today is an abomination. Something that was so useful in the days that we are younger, now is an abomination. I can tell you now. I picked up some worship songs that we used to ascend like 15 years ago. How many of you are like me? Oh, some worship those days, if I listen to it, I'll be ascending. I will just be there. I listen to it. I say, how did this thing even move me? It's because you were carnal. When the cross deals on men, what you call worship song will not serve anymore. You will find out that within the economy of life that powers God's purposes in your life now, that this kind of thing is not a needed commodity. Look at what you are dancing to. Look at what oh my God, you don't know life. When you know life, it will judge many things in you. For it to have a free course, it will tell you that this thing served yesterday. Yeah, it is not bad, but according to the labors of life within your ecosystem, within your ministry, you need to cut off this. Cut it off. Cut it off. It is not. Cut it off. You are telling me, but I love this lady. I love her voice. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that if you journey there, you will not know that the lifestyle that the lady has succumbed to 2 years after she sang the song is still releasing an echoes of death to that song. You don't know what I'm saying. A man can sing a mighty song that blessed us, but after 10 years, he has descended the size of Sheol, and he came up there with the shadow of death, casted it over his songs and messages. And men that journey there, we find themselves in limbo. When they journey into the realm, they will be in limbo. They won't know whether they are in the good side or on the bad side. They are just in limbo. They don't know what is happening to them. Then the Holy Ghost will come and march and say, stop. You didn't know why he says stop. Because everything looks as if it's okay. It is the judgings of life. It has the ability to tell you where to stay and where to live. Don't ask him, is he wrong? Do you know what is wrong? Brothers and sisters, should I even tell you? When you grow in God, you grow beyond right and wrong. The reason why grace came is to teach us that God is beyond right and wrong. It's not necessarily to make people not to sin. God is trying to tell you that he can decide what is right. So even when a man sinned, he said, take grace. Do we all of us know you sin? All of us know that you what? Sin. What does grace teach? That there is a higher level of God's judgment beyond right and wrong. Based on right and wrong, you have erred. Based on grace, you are accepted. Now, if you advance in this philosophy, it also means that there is a realm in the pursuit of righteousness that is beyond right and wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying now? What we pursue in God as matured entities, what we pursue in God in the deeper life, is not what is right and wrong. It is what is life. Say after me, not right and wrong, but what is life? So if you play a song, I will not ask you, is it a bad song? What of the lyrics? I will ask you, is there life in it? If you teach a teaching, even if you are doctrinally correct, but you are disseminating death, it means that you are not correct. Even though what you said can be right. You can be a messenger of Satan, disseminating death with something that looks as if it's right, yet it is death that is ministered. Because God is beyond your right and wrong. Are you getting the point? It is in kingdom context, it is authority that, oh Jesus. I will continue tomorrow. Let's pray for 1 minute. I have a lot to say. Say, Lord, help me. Beyond the words of man, let me enter into the experience of this teaching. Can you pray for 30 seconds? Pray.
God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.